Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Peter 3, the verses 13 to 22. 1 Peter 3, 13 to 22. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dead from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. My theme for reflection is hope in holy resistance. Hope in holy resistance. A friend once quipped, "If faith were a gym membership, most of us would cancel when the trainer starts talking about pain." We chuckle because it is true. Suffering rarely makes the brochure of the Christian life. Yet 1 Peter 3:13 to 22 invites us to consider a paradoxical joy. How pain faithfully endured becomes a pathway to profound hope. The problem Peter addresses is not theoretical but painfully concrete. Early believers faced ridicule, social exclusion, and sometimes state-sponsored harm for naming Christ as Lord. In a world that prized power and conformity, they were urged to prepare their hearts not for applause but for opposition. Peter does not minimize their distress. Instead, he reframes it. He points them toward a horizon where blessing outlasts bruises, and where righteousness, though costly now, is crowned with glory later. Do not fear their threats, he writes. In your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, ready always to give a gentle, reasoned account for the hope within. To anchor this counsel, Scripture interprets Scripture. Peter's call echoes the ancient wisdom of Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The psalm does not romanticize suffering. It situates it within God's faithful rescue. Similarly, Peter insists that the righteous may suffer for doing good, yet such suffering is neither meaningless nor a sign of divine displeasure. Christ himself bore witness to this truth. In his obedient suffering, death gave way to victory, and injustice became the stage for God's redeeming power. The cross, followed by resurrection, proclaims that suffering does not have the final word. Peter appeals to Christ as both exemplar and deliverer. He suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. This is not an invitation to chase pain, but a summons to courage when faithfulness costs something. Believers are called to cultivate a clear conscience, to respond with humility rather than hostility, and to endure not with bitterness but with hope. Their witness, Peter suggests, will unmask the emptiness of the accusers and demonstrate the quiet strength of a life anchored in Christ. Yet this passage also cautions us against a passive acceptance of injustice. In contexts where Christians hold cultural power, suffering might look less like persecution and more like choosing costly obedience over convenience, speaking truth when silence is safer, serving the vulnerable when applause is scarce, challenging systems that wound rather than heal. In such choices, we share in Christ's pattern of faithful resistance, trusting that God's justice outlives every empire. The 20th century theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who lived this reality to its fullest, once wrote, "Suffering then is the badge of true discipleship." He did not glorify suffering for its own sake. He recognized it as the consequence of loving Christ in a broken world. Peter's exhortation harmonizes with this vision. Honor Christ in your hearts. Act with gentleness and respect, and let your life speak a hope deeper than fear. What does this mean for us today? It calls us to re-examine our expectations. Faithfulness may not shield us from difficulty, but it will not leave us without purpose. Our suffering, born with trust and compassion, becomes a testimony to the God who raises the dead and restores the weary. We are not alone in our trials. The risen Christ walks with us, transforming pain into promise. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where might God be inviting you to remain faithful even when obedience is inconvenient or misunderstood? Number two, how can your response to hardship reveal Christ's gentleness and hope to others? And now our practical exercise for the day. Identify one situation where fear tempts you to compromise your values. Pray for courage, then take a small faithful step, speaking truth or showing kindness with humility and respect. Risen Christ, our hope in every trial, strengthen our hearts to honor you when the path is hard. Grant us courage to suffer for what is right and wisdom to respond with gentleness and grace. May our lives bear witness to your triumph over death and your abiding peace in times of testing. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.